Third and final hour, your Friday edition of Justice and Drew is underway. Thank you so much for spending some time with the program this morning. In about 40 minutes, we'll be joined by Isaac Orr, one of our favorite guests from the Center of the American Experiment. Governor Walz has announced a plan for 100% clean energy.
By when?
By 2040.
What? Okay.
What the heck? Yeah, in 19 years, we will have 100% clean energy.
We have 100%, we are 100% temperature free right now.
Yeah, we have no temperature.
We have no temperature. It's, it's zero, according to my phone right
Your
now.
Your phone says it's zero below. It doesn't make any sense. It does. It's got the little negative sign for the zero. That's not a thing.
Negative zero. Weird.
How is that? Okay, somebody, but actually.
So we currently have no temperature in Minnesota.
We have less than no temperature.
Right, exactly.
Representative Tom Emmer joins us. Good morning, sir, and I have a question right up front. Can you share with us, like, the last time you had a glowing puff piece written about you, perhaps, like, wearing a handcrafted beanie, you know, or maybe some galoshes or mittens, you know, like the Washington Post did for Bernie Sanders and his handcrafted mittens? I'm just wondering when the last time you had a coverage like that in our media.
Let me think. Never.
If you're a conservative, you get dehumanized. If you're on the left, you could be a Marxist, Leninist, or socialist, and you'll get a puff piece in the Washington Post about your amazing mittens that you wore on Inauguration Day. It's just incredible, Tom.
Well, you know what? I saw those mittens. They weren't that great, but that's...
They weren't that great. They were okay.
They weren't that great. And I mean, if you saw them class, it brought back memories of Mark Ritchie. So we'll just leave it at that.
17 executive orders signed in the first 24 hours of the Biden administration, Representative Emmer. 17 executive orders. Is that about what you expected? Were you surprised? Did you think maybe he would do more?
You know, I listened to him for way too long, sitting on the on the platform, talking about unity, talking about bringing everybody together, and then he walked off the platform and he proceeded to act as we feared he would. Mm-hmm. You know, he talks about wanting to create jobs. Well, he killed somewhere between 10 and 40,000 jobs with the stroke of his pen by ending the construction of the Keystone Pipeline. How do you think all those union men and women, the people that build things in this country, feel now? You know, their leadership told them, no, we're still Democrats. We're still Democrats. We still have to vote on the Democrat side of the aisle, even though they knew that President Donald J. Trump actually was all about creating jobs that drove not only this economy, but filled their bank accounts and allowed their families to have the things that they once had. And this guy showed him instantly he's not with him. Then he rejoined the Paris Climate Accord. And nobody wants to talk about the fact that, you know, aspiring for all these clean energy things is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. We're all for the climate. But this is about putting America at a disadvantage to every other country in the face of the planet.
Yeah.
People should go read that darn Paris Climate Accord. It's it's an economic document that puts us on the bottom and tries to advance others. But you just go look. Okay, so it makes sense to let terrorists now freely flow into our country. We took off all restrictions that would protect people. Listen, I don't have any problem with masks, but I do have a problem with the government telling me, oh, wear your face covering. Mm. Now you're going to have to wear a face covering everywhere you go. Your teacher, just like the one we have running this state, they talk to you like you're their student, and you're supposed to sit in class and stand, sit, do whatever they tell you to do. It's guys, he says one thing. He talks about unity, but then everything he does is just as divisive as we feared.
Well, and with those executive orders, you know, I went through all of them and, you know, trying to not put on my bias lens. But really, when you look at them, they're not about the American people. I mean, even if you want to look at what he did with the extension of the moratorium on evictions, you know, and relates to housing, there's no discussion about what happens to the landlords. They still have to pay for those properties. And that's the, you know, and even the removal of the 1776 commission as well. Like all those executive orders, they weren't, the vast majority of them were not about really helping the American people. And the ones that are supposed to help American people, you know, some of the American people ends up hurting some of the others. And of course, that's not going to get coverage and it's not going to get talked about because the mainstream media is happy again because Democrats are, you know, back in the White House. And that's a real, real problem.
John, you could, nobody can say it better than you just did. Really, if you want to boil it down, the new Socialist Democrat Party of America, which is what they are, they represent government. Yeah. They don't represent the people. That's our challenge on the side, on our side of the aisle. We've got to continue to remember when we espouse values of limited government, individual liberties, economic freedom. We're talking about the right to self-determine. We have to equate that to we represent the individual. The interesting thing is my grandfather's Democrat Party, these new socialists, they represent the government, the machine. Why were they so upset with Donald Trump? Okay, they didn't like his personality. That, I can see that for some people. But the real issue was, and I watched it the other day, is all the Georgetown prep and Ivy League school elites stood on that podium. They represent themselves and the government. They tell us little people all across the country, this is what you're supposed to do and this is how you're supposed to do it. Mm-hmm. They're back in charge. They didn't like Donald Trump because he shook their world and he said no. No, I'm going to represent and actually try to do the things for the forgotten men and women that you guys have been talking down to for years. Well, guess what? Joe Biden has put the band back together. They're all back in charge, and they're going to tell us again how to live. They, you're right, John. They don't represent us. They represent the machine, the government.
Yeah, and where I have an issue, and we see this all too often on a lot of different levels of government, is that when Democrats tend to get in charge, the government shifts away from serving you and me and working for you and me and working on the interests of the party. And you end up, it ends up being feeling like we're more ruled by a party than we are, you know, an elected group of representatives from diverse backgrounds and with diverse viewpoints who are going to debate and argue and try to come to some conclusion on some of these issues. That's not how our government works anymore. It just works to serve the interests and advance the interests of the party. And that's a really dangerous road. There's a lot of history that shows you how dangerous that road can be.
You're right, Andrew. Just and think about it. Then they hold you hostage, right? It's think about Hennepin County. I can remember a few years ago when the state legislature had budget cuts, and you know some of them were towards the biggest city in the state because of the largesse, the excess that funds the city of Minneapolis.
Yeah.
It when after it happened, when you called the Hennepin County Government Center, I remember there was a voicemail that it would answer and say, due to budget cuts, our operator only answers the phone from this time to this time on these 3 days a week.
Right.
Who are you working for?
Yeah.
We're once again working for the man.
They couldn't find any money out of their, like, you know, office of equity director or anything like that to fund an operator to actually serve constituents.
What about the pedestrian coordinator job? What about that one?
The mobility director. We had a lot of listeners that have made a comment similar comments when we're talking about the 17 executive orders that Joe Biden has signed already in office, and they referenced how many of President Trump's executive orders were immediately challenged in the courts, and how many of them were given injunctions by different judges or were struck down by this court or that court. And one of the arguments often against Trump's executive orders was, you know, to change one of Obama's executive orders, you have to have a reason. You have to give a reason of why you're changing the order. There has to be an impact or something like that. Do you foresee or have you heard any chatter about the same sort of tactic being applied against Joe Biden with his 17 and more to come executive orders that he's promised? Do you, are there conservative groups out there? Are there Republican groups out there that are gearing up that you're aware of that are looking to fight these and challenge these and, you know, run them through, through the same sort of, you know, judicial rigmarole that, that President Trump had to with his?
No, Andrew, I think that's always existed. Yes, we do have Republican groups. No, I have not heard specifically on any one of these 17 executive orders that were signed on Wednesday, but this has existed forever. The difference with the Trump experience and before and perhaps now is the media were so hyper-focused on everything Donald Trump did, Donald Trump and his family, that something they would never write about before, like, you know, the group Conservatives for America sues the federal government for joining the climate, the Paris Climate Accord. It just wouldn't get any news coverage. Here's the difference. I mean, that's the problem with our mainstream media. They are entirely in the pocket of the far left, and they will focus on the things that they want to focus for their agenda. If our people are doing something, and this is the whole key to kicking people off of Twitter and keeping them off Facebook, it's so we can't communicate. It's so people get disillusioned. Yeah. They think nothing's going on out there. So your listeners who are asking, you're going to have to dig.
Yeah.
You're going to have to look. It's not that it doesn't exist. It's not that conservatives don't fight. It's that they don't report it. They don't tell you. They want you to believe that it's over. They just want you to, you know, curl up into the fetal position and wait until this next 4 years is done. What they tell you to do and be quiet.
Well, the good news is that you'll be registered to vote upon birth by the time we get to 2024. So that'll be, you know, so that'll be, you'll pre-register. That's right, because they're trying to pre-register teens in Minnesota now. Get pre-registered when you're 16 and 17 years old to vote. I don't even know what that means. I don't need to pre-register to vote.
You know what, John? Just go look for the I voted stickers on the headstones at cemetery nearby you.
There you go. There you go, Tom. Well, thanks as always for the time, Representative Tom Emmers. Good talking with you, man. I really do appreciate it. Keep up the good work, because we need the help.
Hey, John, enjoy mine at zero. I know how much you love it.
Yeah, I know. It's so weird. I didn't even thought about that. It's every minus zero right there.
Have a great weekend, Representative Emmer. We'll catch up with you next week. Take care.
See ya.
Nobody's but actually on it. Well, here, I'll tweet it out, and then I'll get this.
Yeah, you'll get some butt actuallys. A couple minutes before we got to go to break, got time to squeeze in a couple of calls. We were talking last segment about this concept of multiracial whiteness. You don't have to be white to be white.
Right.
Yeah. If you think the wrong way, white is now evil.
White is an ideology.
Just, it just means evil, right? It just means evil. And you can be any color and be evil, and they're going to call you white.
They're going to call you white.
Yeah. You know, the mob that ascended onto the Capitol was a white supremacist mob, even though most of the pictures and videos show a really diverse group of
very diverse group of people.
Of different skin colors and things like that. Yeah, very diverse.
It's like a United Colors of Benetton ad.
Yeah, exactly.
Peloton is the security risk.
Let's go to Rick in Albert Lee. Good morning, Rick.
Hey, good morning, guys. You guys are the best. Two things. I know just enough about the English language to be outraged at the left and how they use it. Multicultural whiteness is just a nice way of saying Uncle Tom, and I am outraged by that. And I'm going to push back. I'm a conservative, and I'm not done pushing back. So
yeah, you have to.
A great weekend, okay?
Got to speak your truth, man. You got to speak your truth and call this stuff out. And I'm glad to see there's other outlets out there now that are emerging. You know, your Epic Times, your Newsmax, the Daily Wire is a good source too. You know, for those that want to go and find it, they cover all of these, and they've got opinions from all different sides. You know, Reason.com. I mean, I don't always align with libertarians, but at the same time, you listen to like what they do on their podcast and their articles, and they use common sense. They're very rational, more than willing to call out all the sides, and that's what we need. If we're gonna get anywhere, that's what we need.
Let's go to Jason in Nebraska. Good morning, Jason.
Morning, Justice and Drew. How are you doing?
Good.
Thank God for people like Rick, first of all. Second of all, yeah, this multicultural whiteness it's, you know, these guys are different from spoiled brats. They don't stop when you give them what they want. They just keep going. You know, if they can label us with being multicultural white, how about we label them with being politically rabid? I mean, that's what it's like. They got rabies. They just keep going and going.
Yeah. I don't know. I hear you, Jason. For some reason, and I can't explain it. Maybe someone who's looked into it a lot more than I have can. For some reason, it's like the same tactics never work for the right.
Nope. They don't.
You know, the just picking a word and changing the definition and then applying it broadly, it never sticks. It never works. It's the same thing with like the press conference we were talking about earlier. Kayleigh McEnany goes up to that podium and says, President Trump wasn't wearing a mask because we got more important things to worry about. And the entire media goes on a 48-hour tirade of, they don't care about the pandemic. They don't care about dead people. They got more important things to worry about. Jen Psaki goes up there yesterday, says the exact thing. That exact thing. Why wasn't Biden abiding by the mask mandate? We got more important things to worry about. And everybody just goes, yeah, yeah, you do. Yeah, it's true.
We're going to play that audio for you coming up. Also, there's an article here that states, from a well-known and accurate predictor when it comes to pandemics, says we're going to get herd immunity in 2021 one way or another. We'll dive into this ahead of our conversation with Isaac Orr from the Center of the American Experiment here on Justice and Drew.
Why weren't President Biden and all members of the Biden family masked at all times on federal lands last night if he signed an executive order that mandates masks on federal lands at all times?
At the inaugural...
Memorial, yes.
I think, Steve, he was celebrating an evening of a historic day in our country, and certainly he signed the mask mandate because it's a way to send a message to the American public about the importance of wearing masks, how it can save tens of thousands of lives. We take a number of COVID precautions, as you know, here in terms of testing, social distancing, mask wearing ourselves, as we do every single day. But I don't know that I have more for you on it than that.
But as Joe Biden often talks about, it is not just important the example of power, but the power of our example. Was that a good example for people who are watching who might not pay attention normally?
Well, Steve, I think the power of his example is also the message he sends by signing 25 executive orders, including almost half of them related to COVID, the requirements that we're all under every single day here to ensure we're sending that message to the public. Yesterday was a historic moment in our history. He was inaugurated as president of the United States. He was surrounded by his family.
That's a thing.
We take a number of precautions, but I think we have bigger issues to worry about at this moment in time.
Jen Psaki.
We've got bigger issues to worry about at this time.
Sends a message.
Than the pandemic.
Sends a message.
Yeah. Yeah, they basically admit. I mean, we all know the truth about masks, right? Anybody that's paying attention, I should say, knows the truth about masks. They're only partially effective in very specific situations, and in like 95% of our day-to-day activities that we go on, masks serve zero purpose whatsoever in terms of actually fighting a pandemic. But they send a message.
That was Fox's Peter Ducey grilling. Again, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki. It's Justice and Drew, Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. And as Pete Hegseth pointed out this morning, she should have been in a mask right there. They all should be in masks. I mean,
it's a mandate.
Isn't that government, isn't that White House press briefing happening at the White House?
It's federal property.
It's federal property.
It's a mandate.
There should never be a moment where you see Joe Biden on the White House grounds or anywhere within the confines of D.C. where he doesn't have a mask on.
If you're going to issue a mandate, then you should abide by it. Right? I mean, regardless of the mandate, regardless of what it is, if you're going to, on your first day in office, sign an executive order issuing this mandate on federal property, then by God, you should, at least for the first day,
Psaki should be in one.
Take it seriously.
She should be telling everybody else there to be in one.
Otherwise, you may think that was a stupid gotcha moment, and you may think that that's just conservatives, you know, with sour grapes, and maybe there's some truth to that one. But it still doesn't change the fact that you issued the mandate. You're the one. You're the one that issued the mandate. Why aren't you following your own mandate?
And listen, you know what? No, you know, and not to you, but you know, screw that. The Heat, no, you know, the Biden, Psaki, Biden, all of them, right? They all get to be treated the same way that Donald Trump was. I'll afford them the same respect.
Yeah, right.
Trump's not president anymore. Joe Biden is. If you don't like it, then you should have talked about that when they had all the gotcha questions at every single White House press briefing where Trump gave hours, countless hours of his time answering questions over and over and over again.
Right. Look, and if you're not going to follow the mandate, that's what it opens it up to.
Yep.
You open yourself up to that. That is a fair question. You may think it's gotcha, but it's a fair gotcha because they're the ones that issued the mandate. He campaigned. One of the primary aspects of his entire campaign was, we're going to take this pandemic seriously.
Yep.
And we're going to listen to the science, and we're going to lead by example. You can even make it 24 hours of leading by example. Didn't even make it 24 hours.
And look, you got just a little bit. I mean, it tells you how squishy they are. Just a little bit of pushback. A little bit of pushback
we
on
got,
that.
Got more important
we got more important
about.
Things to deal with.
Yeah, what are some of those more important things, Jen? I mean, if the pandemic isn't the most important thing, maybe we can glean some clues from the other 17 or the other 16 executive orders as to what is a bigger deal. Is removing the 1776 project from the White House website and reinstituting the critical race theory elements into our public education system, was that a bigger priority than the pandemic?
We have more audio to share. We'll get to this in a moment. The version we have, two different versions here. We have the audio from CNN. The Daily Wire covered the story of Biden's false narrative. I'm the hero on vaccines, not Trump. The media uncritically agrees, Joe Biden trying to take credit for what President Donald Trump accomplished, and even CNN's own Chris Cuomo pushed back on the reporting. Before we get to that, though, let's go and talk with Amanda in Coon Rapids, who wants to comment on our previous conversation about multiracial whiteness. If you're awful and bad and you're not white, you have the political color of whiteness, and so you're still awful. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you so much for giving us some levity here and all this crazy. Oh, my goodness. yes, I have a first grader in the Anoka-Hennepin District, and with, distance learning, I'm sitting at home, I'm watching the video with her, and it's on Martin Luther King Jr. I'm like, cool, totally sweet, fantastic. As I'm sitting watching the video, you know, it's got an image of him at the Washington Memorial, giving a speech, and it says, one day he wanted his children to not be judged by the color of their skin. Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting. The rest of the line's not there. I grew up in Minneapolis. I had black teachers, and they were adamant. It's not the color of their skin. It's the content of the character. And, oh, my goodness, am I trying to hammer that home to my kid? I had to have a conversation with my fourth grader about her friends being black. She's like, I don't care. I'm like, I know. That's good. Please keep that up.
Yeah.
At any rate, I don't know.
I have yet to see anybody provide me a pushback on that. Like, I've never seen anybody who, you know, like this Beltran character who talked about this ridiculous multiracial whiteness garbage. But I've never seen anybody, you know, who bothers to try to explain, okay, this is what Martin Luther King said, the one of the greatest civil rights leaders of all time. Right. This is what he said. What you're espousing is completely contradictory of that. Can you please explain that to me? Is it just because they never get asked? Mm-hmm. Is that why? You know, is that why? And I know Don Lemon, you know, tried to stick it to conservatives and Republicans who were pointing that out on, you know, the Republicans are not allowed to invoke the name of Martin Luther King.
Right.
On MLK Day. You're not allowed. You're not allowed to do that. Sorry.
Yeah. That's a gulag for you.
That's a gulag.
That's a gulag.
That's a gulag. Mentioned ML King. It's a gulag.
Yeah, you go to gulag.
You go to gulag. You point out the multiracial attack on January 6th. Gulag.
Just gulag for
gulag,
you.
Gulag. You know. You ask
a
Psaki.
You.
You ask the White House press secretary for Biden a difficult question or just a question. It's a gulag for you.
It's a week in the gulag.
It's a week in the gulag. All right. Real quick.
You get out of the gulag when you learn your lesson.
So Biden pledged to get 100 million Americans vaccinated in his first 100 days. It sounds like an admirable goal, but it's utterly meaningless considering the U.S. is already on pace to do this thanks to the efforts of the Trump administration. But CNN came out and made a claim, right, They came out and made this claim that the Biden administration would drastically speed up the pace of vaccinating Americans against the virus. Yet Biden's promise to vaccinate the 100 million people in 100 days is by no means a drastic increase. It was left behind. And apparently somebody went and made a, on CNN, they made a report that the Biden administration was starting from scratch on COVID.
Yeah. Yeah, they were putting out this narrative that the Biden administration, like the Trump left them no plan on vaccine distribution or anything like that. They were starting from complete scratch. Fauci was asked directly at the press conference about this and pushed back on it.
Is the Biden administration starting from scratch with the vaccine distribution effort, or are you picking up where the Trump administration left off?
No, I mean, we certainly are not starting from scratch because there is activity going on in the distribution. But if you look at the plan that the president has put forth about the things that he is going to do, namely get community vaccine centers up, get pharmacies more involved, where appropriate, get the Defense Production Act.
So later on, so Fauci ends up going on Chris Cuomo's show,
mm-hmm.
CNN was the outlet that had the reporting
mm-hmm.
that they were going to have to, Biden administration was going to have to start from scratch on the vaccine rollout, and this is what happened.
Another thing that I don't buy comes out of our reporting. I have two new pieces of reporting. The first one is that people within the administration say they're starting from scratch with a vaccine. No, they're not. You have an infrastructure out there that you're well aware of. It has to be improved. Right. They shouldn't get any benefit of a low bar here either. You know, there's a lot going on already. Right. Are they going to scrap it, or are they going to build on it and make it better?
No. No, they're not going to scrap it, Chris. They're going to, I mean, I was involved in the development of that stuff. Mm-hmm. They were not going to scrap that. There are a lot of good things that went with that happened with the development of the vaccine program. I mean, Operation Warp Speed had a lot of successes. There were some missteps, but a lot of success is there. No, we're going to be building on things. We're not going to be destroying it, putting aside, saying it's useless. We're going to take the good parts and amplify them, make them better, and we're going to go for the goal. And that is to get as many people vaccinated as you possibly can, as expeditiously as you can. That's the goal. We're not going to trash
anything.
You hear that,
Governor Walz? Get as many people vaccinated as quickly as possible. That should be the plan.
Well, yeah, you look at the, you compare it to what we do with the flu vaccine.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know.
Give me a break. Let's handle it like that.
Yeah, there are years I couldn't walk down the hallway at work without like five people trying to stick a flu needle in my arm.
They put them on darts and they're just chucking them at you. It's flu. There you go. Oh, here it happens. By the way, I'll give a modicum of credit. You know, to Chris Cuomo, at least you were honest enough to call out your own network's bad reporting.
Yeah. More of that, please.
Please, more of that.
More of that. We'll be right back with Isaac Orr from the Center of the American Experiment. All right, final segment, Friday edition, Justice and Drew underway. Isaac Orr from the Center of the American Experiment is standing by. He's going to join us in just a moment.
See his name right there?
Yep, he's right there, standing by. But let's take KW. You've been very patient. KW in Minneapolis. Good morning. You're on with Justice and Drew.
Good morning, gentlemen, on this beautiful, sunny Friday.
It's very cold.
You know, this morning I learned two things. First is that the Republicans are still bent on using socialism as a campaign tactic, and you know,
yeah, well, as long as the left keeps running on it.
Yep. But the second most
conservatives keep using Democrats' positions as campaign material.
They should stop pushing, you know, socialism and communism. It's been around for a really long time.
Go on, KW.
You are quicker than a cat, man, I must say. But the second thing I must say is that, you know, I think there's a new definition of a terrorist now. I'm watching CNN, and, you know, they're calling the people who was protesting, you know, some peacefully. They're calling them terrorists. And, you know, I always thought they were terrorists, you know, coming gun blazing, bombs going off, you know, and they're shooting up people. So I know you guys were talking about terms and definitions this morning. So
yeah.
I guess now 2021, there's a new definition for terrorists.
Yep, you're right about that, KW. They are looking to broaden the definition of domestic terrorism to basically include anyone who's ever uttered a kind word about somebody with the last name Trump.
True story.
Center of the American Experiment, one of our favorite organizations here in Minnesota, a fantastic think tank, and they employ one of our favorite guests as well, Isaac Orr, comes on here to learn us about energy and stuff.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Before we get started on the energy plans, I've been holding on this one all week. I just wanted to, we never had a chance to really get into it. We were talking COVID, but it needs to be pointed out again, and I'm looking at the article from Center of the American Experiment. Governor Tim Walz called the federal government's rollout of COVID-19's vaccine an abject failure, but that doesn't begin to describe the Walz administration's own botched attempt to make the vaccine available to Minnesotans 65 and up. The moment the website went up, it crashed. We have the worst IT department ever in this state. So I just wanted to point that out. I know that you guys over at the Center of the American Experiment were covering that, and if you wanted to share any further thoughts, but this continued finger-pointing of the Walz administration with their failure to get the vaccine out to people is getting really ridiculous.
Well, I mean, that's what all failing liberal governments do, right? Like Venezuela, it's never the fact that they don't allow people to run their own lives. It's the capitalists in other countries that are the fault, not their own NF leadership. So this doesn't surprise me.
No, and it shouldn't. And it's not going to get any better until we end up allowing the pharmacies and the people that go and give out the flu vaccinations to give out the regular flu, our COVID-19 vaccine.
Isn't Florida just setting up shop in Disney World parking lots?
Yes, like, that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, you can go in grocery stores and get the vaccine.
People to go get it, right? Like free tickets to Disney World after you get the shot. That makes sense.
It's on the menu there at Taco Bell. We'll have a Diet Coke, a bean and cheese burrito, and vaccine shot, please.
Yeah, they'll give it to you right in the drive-thru.
They're already wearing the rubber gloves.
Isn't it in the drink?
Right, yeah.
That's what the Baja Blast is.
Oh, man. Could you imagine if the vaccine had to be administered through a plastic straw? Like, what would they do?
Oh, man.
What would they do?
Yeah, they become big fans of herd immunity really quick. All right, let's go here. Walz DFL leaders announced plan for 100% clean energy in Minnesota by 2040. Walz said the time to fight climate change is now. Not only is clean energy the right and responsible choice for future generations, clean energy maximizes job creation, grows our economy, which is especially important as we recover from COVID-19's pandemic. Is that true, Isaac Orr? Does green energy maximize job creation and grow our economy?
Actually, it doesn't. It increases the price of electricity, and that sends jobs out of state. We already had Gerdau Steel say, hey, the price of electricity is too high here. We're going to move someplace with lower costs. And we're having trouble having buyers for paper mills up in Duluth because they say, hey, we can run for 25% less down in the south, so we're going to do that. So, people always politicians especially, like to point to the few jobs that they may create in industries like the solar or wind industry, but they conveniently forget the fact that when you increase the price of doing business in your state, you drive people out of your state.
What is the response from the actual providers of the electricity? I mean, that's the part of this thing that I always kind of scratch my head over. They got to know. I mean, they have a 4-part plan here. We'll go to the first part of it. Yep. You know, achieving 100% clean energy by 2040. Would require all electric utilities in the state to use only carbon-free energy sources by 2040 while setting interim goals along the way. It includes provisions to help workers and communities affected by the transition. Are they just going to be receiving so much money from our state government that they're willing to go along with this nonsense? Because they have to know you can't do this. It's not realistic.
So they're not going to be receiving the money straight from the state government. They're going to be receiving it straight from you and me, right? So we don't have a free market for electricity in the state of Minnesota, and we probably never will. What we have are government-approved monopolies who are guaranteed to make their money back on any investment that they put in the ground, plus a guaranteed government profit on the top of it, and government-guaranteed profit, right? Mm-hmm. So if they build a wind turbine, they get to make all the cost of that wind turbine back, plus 10% on top of it. So regardless of the wind turbine ever generates a single kilowatt hour of electricity, they're guaranteed to make their money back. So what they're doing is they're licking their chops because building wind, solar, and natural gas plants allows them to basically, it's called their rate base, but it's basically the pool of money in which they make a guaranteed profit on is going to skyrocket as a result of regulations like this. So the utility companies, Ben Folk made $23 million. He's the CEO of Xcel Energy. He loves this stuff. He gets a bonus for his, you know, environmental sustainability goals or whatever. So the utility companies love this. Their government-guaranteed profits are just going to increase. If we have real competition, then they would actually make a stink. But because they don't, they're going to go along and, you know, the shareholders are going to love it.
Do you think if we had real competition, like if we actually had some degree of a free market in the electricity market, do you think we would have a lot more nuclear by now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So here's a fun fact. The United Arab Emirates just built an APR 1400, which is a South Korean nuclear reactor to generate electricity. One of those in Minnesota generates more electricity than the entire wind fleet here. So we would be looking at options that actually make sense as opposed to wind turbines that break in 20 years.
How many of those plants do you think we would need? Like if we relied solely on that sort of nuclear energy, how many plants do you have an idea, an estimate of how many plants it would take to power the state of Minnesota?
Yeah, how about you spitball for 10 seconds and I'll have an answer
all right
for you.
I can do that. The thing is, the nuclear is clean. I mean, it's like it's clean. It's so much more safe than it was even 20, 30 years ago. There's these irrational fears of nuclear meltdowns, and I get where the fears come from. I mean, you know, most of us were alive and we saw what happened on Three Mile Island. We've seen what's happened in Japan when they had their breakdown. We were alive for Chernobyl. We saw all those scary things, and those are real and legitimately scary. But it is a lot safer now than it was then. We've learned a lot more now. Those were anomalies. Those were terrible, terrible anomalies. And they are the risk of something like that happening in Minnesota is minuscule.
And to combine it with another conversation that we were having on two separate topics, they really both go highlight what's indicative of the left. Last hour we were talking about, and if you missed it, listen to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app, but this ridiculous idea from the Washington Post about multiracial whiteness. And that was the, when you look at the group of individuals that stormed into the Capitol on January 6th, it wasn't a bunch of white dudes. It was a very diverse group of individuals. And the explanation was, well, it's multiracial whiteness. And the point that I'm trying to make here is we've moved away from what Martin Luther King espoused, saying, you know, you judge a person by the content, by the content of their character, you know, not by the color of their skin. Why? Because there was power involved. Mm-hmm. So you can't do that. You've got to separate individuals because we have a lot of money at stake here. And it's the same thing when it comes to nuclear power. They don't want to go that route, even though it's the safer, more efficient way to do it, because they stand to lose all that sweet, sweet cash and power that they can rake in.
And if they were legitimately serious about going to 100% clean energy in Minnesota, there's no real, and correct me if I'm wrong, Isaac, but there's no real way to get to clean energy that can effectively power the state of Minnesota without having some nuclear component involved in there, is there?
Absolutely. That's really the crux of it. They say that climate change is an existential crisis and we need to act now for future generations, but we refuse to use the only technology that could actually get us. Doggone it.
They always leave that last part out.
Yeah, they do. But, I mean, that's really why it's important for conservatives to get vocal and get knowledgeable on this issue. It's like, you guys are total clowns. You are just not serious at all. You guys are saying all of this stuff about the world is going to end and it's our moral responsibility to future generations. Well, it's your moral responsibility to stop being so ignorant about nuclear energy.
I know you were you testified in front of, not testified, but you spoke at the at a Senate hearing yesterday, and you were like the only sort of like sane voice that I saw in the list of speakers in this clean energy hearing that they were having yesterday. So we're out of time, unfortunately, Isaac. I was going to ask you to expand upon that, but we are unfortunately up against the clock here. So I'll just say thank you all that you do, and not just thank you for coming on the program. We appreciate it, but thank you for all of the hard work and effort that you're putting into at least trying to get some information out there about what going to clean energy actually really means for the state of Minnesota.
5.5 times.
Say it one more time.
5.5 of those nuclear power plants.
Okay? 5.5.
5.5.
All right, cool. You can put one in my yard.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll be the anti NIMBY.
You have to move the airliner out.
Well, yeah, it's already moved though. I took care of that. I moved it over to Sam's house.
Thank you, Isaac.
Take care, Isaac.
We now enter that portion of the show where Justice and Drew, hey, that's me and you, we find out whether or not we've done our job accurately and adequately and appropriate. Sam, what did you learn?
Around 6:30 this morning, I learned Jacob Fry has announced his plans to run for re-election as the mayor of Minneapolis.
No.
We came up with a lot of alternative jobs.
Operator.
Yeah. There's a lot of other jobs that he'd be
at. He'd be good at a theme park. He could dress up like Mickey Mouse.
Oh, he'd make
Should
a good Mickey.
Should go back Mickey. Work at Disneyland when
he'd
they open back
that.
Up.
At 7 a.m., I learned what the fair tax is. And then at 8 a.m., we had Tom Emmer on the show. Tom was at Biden's inauguration, so I learned more about that. And I learned how he feels about the way that the media covers a Democratic administration versus a Republican one. You can check out all hours of the show and hear all of those conversations by finding our podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Just search for Justice and Drew.
I'm bummed out. We'll have to wait till Monday, but we had a story here where you could make a... You can make a living just eating candy.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah, it's a candy taster.
Well, we spent a good chunk of the morning trying to find a new gig for Jacob Fry.
Oh, Jacob Fry would love that.
Hey, you can get paid $30 an hour to eat candy.
What?
That'll pay for your calorie and carb restricting weight loss plan.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good job until you die.
So is this one?
We're back Monday 6 to 9. Y'all have a great weekend. Stay safe. Be warm. Open up the door.